we should learn v'zuchas the names down here of Esther Minda Basket to Miriam and Moshe Kohen Ben Miriam Rus. Okay. So today's daf is daf Nun Aleph. So we got two. Where did we get exactly? We started Nun Aleph, right? Amalei Bar Kapara Lebrate de Rebbe. Okay, we're going through a number of different stories. So Amalei Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara says Lebrate de Rebbe, to the daughter of Rebbe. Lemachar, tomorrow, Shasena Chamra. Tomorrow I'm going to drink wine. And in Brikuda de Abucha, when your father would dance in front of me, Ubikirkane de Imech, and your mother will sing in front of me. So, I'm not sure what more than that. Is that the end of the story? Is there Ran or Mefarish here? Okay, nothing really doing. Let's see if there's a continuation. I'm not sure. That might be it. Let's look in the notes here. Right, so the obvious question is, I was wondering, the Shalmei Nedarim exactly is in a Kalisha.
Right.
So what's it? So he answers, based on Ritva, right, that he's not Choshesh Lehihurim, since he knows his Yeter will be Nichnalav. I guess he had control of his Yeter. There's no concern of Kalisha there. They also ask here, you know, the story is never followed up with him actually doing this. He just said this is what he's going to do. Did it actually happen? So the Ben Hoyad apparently says he was just b'tichu, so he was saying a joke. I don't get the joke exactly, but that's what's going on here.
Different humor,
right. Okay.
He wasn't a writer.
He wasn't. Oh, this continues. Oh,
the joke?
It's part of the story of yesterday. The story yesterday, Bar Kapara wasn't invited, he got insulted. So he said to his daughter, tomorrow I'm going to drink wine from your father and dance with your father and your mother's going to sing. That was his way of showing he was insulted. He wasn't invited. Okay. Fine. The Gemara now says further, Ben Elasa Chasid Rebbe Haba. Ben Elasa was the son-in-law of Rebbe. V'asher Godav, a very, very wealthy individual. Azmune lebei hilula de Rabbi Shimon b'Rebbe, and they invited Rebbe to the wedding of Rabbi Shimon, his son. I guess Rebbe invited his son-in-law, which is very nice, to his Rebbe's son's wedding.
Bar Kapara was invited.
So what's Ben Elasa doing here? Just side point: his son-in-law was rich. Rebbe was making a wedding for his son Rabbi Shimon, and he invited Bar Kapara.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not sure.
Did you mean Rabbi at Bar Kapara lechatanto shel Rabbi Shimon beno shel Rabbi?
It says here in my mind, it sounds like he invited his own son-in-law, and they explain at the bottom here. The Sefer Aderes Eliyahu is that even though he only invited Talmid Chachamim to the chasen normally, he was willing to invite his son-in-law, even though he wasn't a Talmid Chachamim since he was very wealthy. That's where they quote from the bottom of Aderes Eliyahu. So according to the Sifta, he invited his own son-in-law, which is interesting that they have to teach that, but according to the art school, he invited his Bar Kapara. Okay, let's keep going. Amar Lei Bar Kapara Le Rebbe, so Bar Kapara says to Rebbe, during the wedding of his son, Rebbe Shimon, I guess, my Toeva. What does it mean, Toeva, when it says the Pasuk? It says Toeva a number of times, but this one particularly is asking about Mishkav Zachar, it says Toeva. Why is that called a Toeva? So Kol Damar Le Rebbe Dachin Hu Toeva. So he says, what's the response here? I'm not seeing any random refarishes here.
No, it's a continuation. Kol Damar Le Rebbe Dachin Hu Toeva Parcha Bar Kapara. Any explanation that he sent about the word, he rejected it.
Parcha Bar Kapara. He asked the question. Any response Rebbe gave to the definition of Toeva, he said he had a kasha. So Amar Le Parshat. So Rebbe said, okay, Bar Kapara, you tell me what it means then, if you're such a hot shot. Samale Tesi de Beitcha Timili Nala Achas Ramya Le. So Bar Kapara says to him, on the condition that Tesa de Beitcha, that your wife come, Vitimili Nala, and pour me a small cup of wine. So Asas, she came, Ramya and gave him a cup of wine. So Amale, the Rebbe, so now Bar Kapara says to Rebbe, Kum Rokuli, so go dance in front of me. I guess that's what's referring to the previous story. So go get up and dance in front of me. Dei Malach, and I will tell you exactly what Toeva means. Halach Yomer Achmar, the Torah says, Toeva, Toe, Ata, Ba. So you will be go astray from her. So, he's referring to, let's see. Right, so that's what the Ran says. Toi ataba shemeniach mishkevei isha v'holech etzel zachar. That you're leaving from a woman and going to a man. That's what he's going on. So this is pretty interesting because it says toiva in a number of contexts also. I believe it refers to bas v'chava as toiva, if I'm not mistaken. In other places, toiva is not only used by mishkev zachar.
Also toi ataba.
What?
Toi ataba. Meaning you're making a mistake with that too.
So there's not, but it sounds like it's very unique to ba isha. But okay. Then the Gemara says so, lekasa achrina. So then he got to drink another thing. Is there a Ron here? No. Amalei my tevel. What does the word tevel mean? Or so he answers. So Amalei. So Bar Kapara says ki enyana kadma. Like the previous statement.
He's talking about Revia. Ishan Yerved.
So you see that's what the Ran says. My tevel dechsev gavi isha hanirvas l'behema. When a woman and an animal are together. So it says tevel. So what does that mean? So he says it's the same thing I said before about shehit ta'aba, even though it's a different word that's being used. So Amar Lei, so Bar Kapara says to Rebbe, Ivili. So make for me the omer lecha eved.
Do the same, and then I'll tell you again.
So avad. So he did the same thing. Yeah.
Omer lech, and he says avad.
Sorry, I missed that.
He says, if the be the omer lech, do as I told you before, and he says avad. He did it.
Okay, he did what he wanted. He gave him a drink of wine, and he danced. And Amar Lei, so Bar Kapara says tevel who. It's a question. Tavla nishba? Is there something? Is there some taste to this? Something special about this bia? Mi shanya had the bia min kulim bios. Let's see the Ran here. So the Ran says tavlin is yeshba b'tmiya. Is there tavlin? Is there taste? Is there spices to this? Maishna hadabia mikulabio says the Ran, Klomerheach manchas ben min bemina lelech etabema. How could you go from a human to an animal? So that's what means tevel is tavlin. Is there tavlin? Is there taste? Is there spices in such a bia? That's how he understood it. The Amalei, my zima, so they asked, what's zima? Amalei, Evid ki inyana kedmai, do what you did before, give me wine, dance. Avid, he did this. Amalei, zu mahi. What is this exactly? There's no sense to doing such a zima. What's the context of zima? It's a number of places, but let's see if they're asking anything in particular here. Right. So if you look at the mifarish is zumahi. When mifarish biyavamos daf lamed zayin, he says biisha baal nashim harbe. Man's with a number of different women. Vechein isha shenivala nashim harbe, and a woman's with a number of different men. Don't know who the parents are, or you at least know who the mother is, you don't know who the father is. And she gives birth to a daughter, Nimsa Av no says bito, it's possible the father could go off and marry his own daughter, because he doesn't really know that it's his daughter. Va'ach no says achos, and he might have another son from elsewhere, and a brother might marry achos, his sister. With respect to such a case, it says, Umileh haraz zima, the ground, the land will be filled with zima, kolmer zumahi, she'en adam yodeo, so isha, we don't know who she is, who knows se'im mutarislo, imlav, we don't know if she's marrying someone who's permitted to her, or not permitted to her, so that's what lashon zima is, zumahi, what is she? Okay, then lo yacha ben alasha l'mispal, so back to the son-in-law now, bring back to the beginning of the story, so ben alasha wasn't able to withstand all the zilzal, the disgrace that Bar Kapara was doing to Rebbe. Remember, the whole background is Rebbe didn't invite Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara was very, very insulted. Finally, he twisted Rebbe's arm and got himself invited. So now Bar Kapara is there, but he's still very insulted. So he's besting Rebbe at this apparently public debate of the different words. And the son-in-law, Ben Alasa, took offense to this. So what'd he do? Kam v'nafaku v'naschei mitaman. He got up and left the chasna, he and his wife, Vintasei, his wife, and they left the chasna, they walked out.
It's interesting, if referring to that thing before, that he really only invited from Yechamim, the only one who was nachat, the chavot from Yechamim was son of
a... That's a good point.
Else out.
Right. So that's a very good point.
What was the point?
We said before, I quoted on the bottom here, quoted a sefer that said that, well, Ben Elasa, what's the chiddush that Ben Elasa was married, that he was invited to his own brother-in-law's wedding? His father invited him, and who cares that he was an Asher Gadol? What's the relevance of being a wealthy individual? So what we've been suggesting is that, and not suggesting, he's pointing out, actually pretty interesting, that the sefer said he was only invited, not because he was a son-in-law, he wouldn't have been invited, because only Talmid Chacham were invited to a chasna made by a Rav. He was invited because he was wealthy, and there's a certain inyan to an usher, an askan, to be invited to such sudas. So we're pointing out, even though he wasn't a Talmid Chacham, he's the only one who got up to walk out and make a macha out of the disgrace of Rebbe. So, which is interesting. Maybe one could say this differently, that maybe the other Talmid Chacham who were there didn't view this as a disgrace. When it comes to mechamta shatorah, when it comes to debating about Torah, there's no disgrace involved in that. Everyone has to do whatever the emes is. So they felt that this wasn't a disgrace at all. It was only by Elasa, Ben Elasa, who wasn't a learned person, didn't see this as being for the MS. Okay, so Mar wants to know now, who exactly, my Ben Elasa, who was Ben Elasa? What is his story? So the Tanya, they bring a Raisa, Lo lichinam pizar Ben Elasa esmaosav el laharos behen tasporisha koin gala. So it's interesting, this is going to show that maybe he is really the Shem Shemaim, even though he may not have been so learned. He spent so much money, the only reason why he spent a lot of money, he used a lot of money up, was to figure out how to properly cut the hair of the Kohen Gadol. What was the haircut of the Kohen Gadol?
What did he do?
He spent a lot of money to investigate, to do research, how to do the proper haircut for a Kohen Gadol. And we're going to see in just a moment, what exactly was this unique hairstyle of the Kohen Gadol. So what did he do? How do we know that the Kohen Gadol had a special haircut? Dechsiv, the pasuk says, it's found in Yechezkel, Kisum, Kasom Yichsmu Es Rashayim. So what does that pasuk literally mean? Let's look at the Ran. Anything on this? No. So Tana Kein Lulanios. So what does this word, the word mean in English? Let's see. What's a kusemet?
Kusemet is one of the cereals,
no? Oh, yeah, it's one of the five species, kusmi. Five min, yeah. Spelt?
I think it's spelt.
Yeah? Okay.
Spelt.
Okay.
The Rush doesn't explain what that means. It's like Kusemet, but I don't understand.
Where's the Rush here? Here. It says, Kukosemet Hazesha Rosha Shazebetad Vikar Shazet. That's what Gemara is about to say, that the head is connected to the root of the next piece of hair. We'll see that in the Gemara, then we'll explain it. Okay, but here it is. I don't know what spelt looks like in its original form. Harry? It's something you know, I imagine.
No picture. It just says the seed capsules on a stalk of spelt are positioned end to end.
The seed capsules? What is that?
Seed capsules. Seed capsules.
Ah. Seed capsules are. Okay. Okay, so I guess that's what we'll. So that's what it's referring to here. So again, the hair, this Pasuk Yechezkel is referring to a Kohen. Because the beginning of the pasuk says, "V'rosham lo yigalchu," the hair of shouldn't be overgrown. "Ufar lo yishalchu," and he shouldn't let it be. He can't cut it. Can't let it grow too long. And "Kesom yichasma es roshem," it should be like a spelt. So let's see what that means. The Gemara says, "Tana kein lulanios, lulinis rather, my lulinis,
lulinit."
Okay. Rabbi Yehuda tisparta yichidasa. It's a very unique type of haircut. Heichidami. What exactly is this lulinis? So Amar Rava Rosha Shazeb Itzad Ikar Shazeb Ainu Tasparosha Kohen Gadol, where the hair is cut. So if you use like a, you know, take a, get a buzz cut, but leave a little bit left, where the top of one hair is right next to the root of the next hair. It's very basically, I'm thinking like a one. You get like a one very short, where they're so short that they're just touching the roots of the neck. They're not overlapping with each other. That's what I'm imagining. Is there a definition of the word lulinus?
It's basically it's a clown in the circus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a leitan.
No, it's a man is doing tricks in the air.
A juggler or something?
Yeah, a juggler.
A jester?
A juggler is doing this, no?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's part of it.
What, did they have a definition of lulinus there?
No.
Wow, okay. Lulinus. So what does that have to do with a juggler, though?
If it's... I don't know, maybe the Hebrew...
So that says down here, the lulinus comes from the word lul. Lul is what, a little like tube, no?
Lul is where the chicken lives.
Yeah, like a little chicken coop, like a little like not a big thing. I thought it was like a small little okay. I'm not sure why how it's relevant here, but okay. Either way, that's the special haircut of the Kohen Gadol. And going back to the little story here, Ben Alasa spent his money, a lot of money, to figure out exactly how to cut such a hair. I think he went down to Alexandria, Egypt, to find out. They were the professionals. They were that was the main big city at that time. Everyone, all the professionals, were down there. I think he spent money there to figure this out. Okay, fine. That's who he was. So you see, he was really L'shem Shemaim then. Ubidlas harimutza. Now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah that a person, remind themselves, the person who makes a nether, he can't get hana from tafshil, so he can't get hana from a tafshil rach, which is soft, that would be typically put on bread, but if it was something that was thicker, that was standing alone, you'd eat on itself, you would be allowed to. And also, one of the things you're allowed to have, if you took a nether from tafshil, you could have a delas harimutza. So what is my delas harimutza, asks the Gemara. Amar Shmuel, Kra karkuzai. So says the Ran, karkuzai is Hashem l'komam. Okay. So kra is a, what's the English thing?
Glass?
Dilat. It's a gourd then. A gourd or a squash, I think you said the other day. Same family. So a karkuzai squash, is that what it says?
Yeah.
Okay. And Rav Ashi Amar Dilas Hatamuna Beremet. No, it's referring to a gourd or a squash that's buried in Remet. It's buried in, coals?
Hot ashes.
Okay. So that's those things are not considered tafshil and may be eaten by a person who takes a nether in tafshil alone. Asks the Gemara Esevei. Ravina Rav Ashi asks Rav Ashi, Rebbe Nechemia Omer, quotes from a Mishnah or Braisa, Rebbe Nechemia Omer, Dilas Aramisu, Dilas Hamitris, Kalayim, Im Hayvanim, Klaim Im Harmutza, Tiyufta. So again, Dilas Harama. This must be a Mishnah in Klaim. Yeah, it's actually not a Mishnah in Klaim. It should be in Klaim, but it's not really in Klaim. It says on the side here. So what's he saying here? So the Dilas Haramis, the Armenian Dilas, is the same thing as the Egyptian Dilas. One of the same, and it is Klaim. If you were to graft it with a Greek delas, and it's klayim with if you do it with a ramutza. So what's the shaila here? So you see from here that clearly ramutza and how's this akasha? Let's see. Look at the Ran now. The Ran says he klayim harmuta alma lav tmuna beremet kamar ela min delasi chenikra ramutza. So the way the Rav Ashi understood that they Dilas Ramuta, it's the way you prepare the Dilas. Not a type of Dilas, it's the way you prepare it. You put it in hot ashes. But here, clearly, it's Imha Ramuta, is a type of min. It will go more in accordance with the Shmuel that comes, it's a karkuzi squash, a karkuzi gourd. It's not how you prepare, but it's a type of species, and therefore it's a tiyufta according to Rav Ashi. And ends there. Okay, now we have the new Mishnah. The Mishnah says in the bottom of Nun Alf and Alf, Hanoder me Meiser Kedera, Ein Aser El me Meiser Rosachta. Person says, I cannot get Hana from any Meiser Kedera, which is something that is cooked in a pot. One may not get anything. It's Aser to get Hana from a Meiser Rosachta, which I imagine is Rosach, anything that gets boiled.
Yeah.
Is the
Mishnah here?
Are you missing, you guys?
No, usually the Mishnah, they put it in the center.
Uh huh.
Here they skipped it, they did it in a different surah.
Ah, okay.
No, but it says that Gemara via Tabava Ahrona Shel Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah was before.
But not this part. Okay, so anyway, so a person who takes an Isser Nether from Maiser Kedera, it's only Aser and Maiser Resach, the boiling. Sorry? Is what?
The Rabbi points out that this whole this piece of the Mishnah is already said in the Mishnah.
Okay, so that's
why it's like
this
quick. Rabbi's scroll doesn't make mistakes.
Say it again?
No, the
Rabbi
points out that this Mishnah was already said in the Mishnah before. It's like,
uh-huh, so
it should be like
the
two dots that
quote
the Mishnah, but not actually the Mishnah.
Okay.
So this is a mistake on this. Right.
Fine, so again, the Mishnah says, only from something that gets boiled. So Amar Konim Hayori Lekadera, if somebody says I can't get enough for something that goes into a kadera, into a pot, Shani Tom, that cannot taste it, also the Bechol Ma'asa Bekadera, then it's also to anything that gets placed in a pot, even if it's not boiled. So what they would call like pot roast. Pot roast is something you place in a pot, but wouldn't put liquid in it. It would be roasting on a pot. Usually roasting is without the medium of water. You roast something on a grill or with a fire. And though, so if you roast it in a pot without water, that would be also according to the second opinion, the second part of the Mishnah. But the first part of the Mishnah, pot roast would be permitted because Ma'is Kedera implies if it's boiled in water or boiled in oil or something like that. But pot roast would be mutter within the first case of the Mishnah. So Gemara says, Tanya quotes a Braisa, Hanodim in Hayorid Lekedera, also be your Le'ilfus. So if someone takes a nether, he can't get enough from something that's placed in a pot, he's usher in something that gets placed in an ilfis. Shekvar yarda l'kadera kod mishor the ilfis. So what's the ilfis? That's the, what?
Pen.
Pen?
Yeah.
A pen. So they're assuming here that if something is placed in a pen, it was previously placed in a pot. So anything that's placed in a pen would be usher as well. Even though the nether is only in a kadera, on a pot, it includes also something that was placed in a pen. Now, is that really true? We you know, make some, things...
No, it's sometimes. No. Sometimes
you make eggs in a pen.
You...
Sometimes, but you make eggs in a pen, you don't place it in a pot first. You make French toast in a pen, but you don't place it in a pot first. That's how they used to cook it. Okay. Because nowadays it would be different. It always goes after Lashon Bnei Adam. But let's say a person makes a neder that shiori l'ilfas, that I can't get enough from something that's placed in a pan. So then it's only asr min hayorid l'ilfas. Only something placed in a pan would be asr, but mutter b'yorid l'kadera. But something that's placed in the kadera alone, that would be permitted to such a type of neder. If a person makes a nether min hanasa b'kadera, something that's made from a kadera, mutter b'nasa b'ilfas. He can be get hanasa for something that's made in the ilfas, because nasa implies something that's complete. Mm-hmm. If something was placed in the pot and then a pan, well, it wasn't complete in the pot. It was put in the pot, but it wasn't nasa in the pot. It went through some stage, but it wasn't. And someone who makes a nether min hanasa b'ilfas, that something was complete in ilfas, is mutter b'nasa b'kadera, can eat something that was completely made in a kadera. Then hanodim min hayori l'tanur, someone who takes a nether can't get something that's placed in a tanur, ein asa el b'pas. The only thing that he refers to is really pas, bread, but something other than bread, which would be permitted. Vim amar kol ma'asa tanur, if he says everything that is made in the tanur, alai, then asa b'chol nasim b'tanur, then it includes everything. So why pas? So if you look at the bottom round on the page here, he says, "Hanodim min hayorid l'tanur she'ino asr el b'pas." When you say the language of yorid min hatanur, it sounds like only he's referring to pas. The stam yorid l'tanur masha pas. That's what people will typically speak. That I'm putting something in the tanur. He's referring to placing pas. Remember, they didn't go to the bakeries to buy bread. They would make their own pas pretty frequently, I would imagine. B'vim Amar, he says the Ran, Im Amar kol ma'ase tanur alai, then also b'chol ma'ase b'tanur, including baked goods, cakes, or whatever else a person might place. Okay, pretty technical da'as so far. Gemara now says on the top of Nun Alpha Mabez, and the new Mishnah says, Min ha'kavush, ein asa ela min ha'kavush. So if something, a person takes a nether, not to get enough from saying kavush, kavush is what, like pickled?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So a person takes a nether not from anything pickled, he's only asa for something that's pickled. If he says only a vegetable that's pickled, whether a pickle, a cucumber that's pickled, a pepper that's pickled, but if it's I don't know what else a person might pickle other than
fruits.
People pickle fruits, really?
Yeah.
MS? I've never seen that before. What's a common fruit that's pickled?
Prune,
yeah. Yeah, have you guys seen this outside of Israel?
Basar.
Pickled meat, pastrami or something. Pickled herring, okay.
What does it pickle mean?
Okay, what does it mean?
Pickled is like corned beef.
Herring is the perfect example. Really?
Yeah.
Fish was the only boy used to pickle fish.
Yeah.
In hot water.
Yeah, different types, but a lot of the corned beef, I think, have a... Okay, so when a person says pickled, he typically refers to a vegetable that's pickled.
Nowadays, you would include herring because...
If possible, it depends how old you are. I'm not sure if our generation eats it. Ruben likes it. I think he likes it. Okay. So that includes if he says a language of Kavushani Toim Us Bechalak Pushim, then that's a more of an expansive statement. Then it's going to include all types of pickled items, even herring, even corned beef will be included. If he says Minas Shalak, if something, now Shalak, we had two different definitions. Shalak typically means something that's overcooked. We saw earlier a few days ago Shalak meant undercooked.
Right. So if
I thought the Mishnah there was clear that it was undercooked, but it could be wrong. But so Minas Shalak, a person says Minas Shalak, let's take it to mean something overcooked. So then, Eino Asa Ela Minas Shalak Shabasa, that's referring to overcooked meat. But if he says Shalak Shani Toim, that language he says overcooked that I will not taste Asa Bechol Shlukim, then he's Asa in anything that might be overcooked. Okay, I'm just looking on the side for a second. Anything new here? Right, so the Ron just explains the difference between these languages. If you say Minah Kavash versus Kavash Shani Toim, he says, look at the top Ron there. He says, Masisin explains, Minah Kavash Eino Asa Ela Minah Kavash Shel Yerek. If you say I can't have anything from pickled I cannot eat, then it only refers to vegetables. Mishum Dechevin Damar HaKavash Mashma HaYadua, the known Kavash, that which is pickled typically, Stama Dierku. But if you say kavush without the hay, kavush shani toim asa b'chol ha-kavushim, d'cheven shiskir below hay, since no hay is being used, hayadiyah, ko kavush b'mash, it refers to all kavushim, anything that's pickled, even though it's not the classic pickling. Okay. The Gemara now says, Amar le-rav acha b'reder avya le-rav ashi. Amar, the kavush mai, the shalak mai, the tzali mai, the malich mai, hechen mashma, tibay. So these languages, what's the halakha? So if you look at the Ran says, he's actually going on two different perushim here. Let's go with the first pshat he gives. So he says in the Gemara, the kavish mai, the shalak mai. The fi perush rishon, according to the first pshat, sheperashi b'mishnah, saying that I explained in the Mishnah, that's about the hey ha'idiyah, shika chilak hu im hiskiu b'shem ha'idiyah im lav. Ha'cha ha'cha mi'bailei. The shalak Gemara here is, ki amar the kavish, the shalak b'dalid, you have a dalid here, I mashma hayadua alo. With the dalid now, does that mean if it's a hay, it's certainly hay idea. If it's no hay, then it's certainly not. But if it's a dalid dia, that's the suffix of the Gemara, and the Gemara ends up in a tibai. Tibai is the Dharma's Gemara way of saying teku. We don't have an answer. Okay, then the new Mishnah tells us.
We have to
the chumer,
right?
The chumer here for Nadarm. We had that discussion in Iran a while ago. Yeah, that's the Gemara. This round that we were doing, we stopped earlier, but the end of that round, it says, Saka Be'ein, Beteku V'Luchumr, like you just said. So we're Luchumr here, by Nadarm.
Right, if you're in a place where when they said something like that, it was obvious, and I guess it would be different.
Yeah, it would change. This is one of the halachas that would change depending where you are.
And
there's a number of halachas like that. One that comes to mind is Bishul Akum. Bishul Akum depends on where you live. The Shach says, Hakol fi zman and fi makom, I think is a lesson he uses, depending where you live and what time period you live in. So, for example, by Bishul Akum, saying davar hanecha chai, something that's eaten raw, if they were to cook it, it would be okay. So let's say, and it was an example of that, so let's say apples. So apples people eat raw, of course, and if an Akum were to cook an apple, it's not a problem because it's eaten anyways without. That's one of the heterim. So nowadays what comes out, what? Yeah, no, so now is a good example of sushi, raw fish. As you're going to say, the Gemara talks about raw fish as something that was inedible. And the Gemara paskins and brought down the Shulchan Aruch that raw fish is therefore muks, actually. You can't eat it. As opposed to the Gemara is actually interesting, raw meat was actually muta. They used to eat raw meat. So raw meat is not muksa, but raw fish is muksa, according to the Shulchan Halacha. So now the question becomes, and then nowadays we live in a place where sushi is eaten all over, is it considered, now it's nechal chai? So I once asked a shayla to somebody, and this is probably going back 3-4 years, and they thought it's not. I honestly don't think the person was so aware of how widely eaten sushi is. You go to every wedding, sushi
but
is pretty much here.
It's only the sashimi, because the sushi, the rice is cooked.
Yeah, but the fish itself is not cooked.
Right, so the sashimi, if you have only the piece of the fish.
Right, but even the sushi with the rice and the fish inside the rice is not cooked.
Meaning if you would just take out, because when you're using, when you're eating a piece of sushi,
yeah, you're still eating raw fish. Meaning that chokmah
shu. You mean it's a regular piece of.
The question is, if you
would eat it.
Right. Not like
people eat sashimi. Okay. Right. Then cooked fish should be okay also.
Right.
Shouldn't be considered bishulak.
Right. So subsequent to that, I asked Rav Shechter the shaila about the raw fish. So he's not that familiar, but he said, if it's a type of fish that people make sushi at, I don't know the different types of grades of fish are being used. You can't just buy any salmon and make it into sushi, I don't think. It has to be different.
But he said it's dependent on the grade of fish.
Yeah, I think so. He doesn't know that much. He didn't know that it was familiar, but it has to be a min that would be typically used for raw sushi. It can't just be any fish. That was the chiluk that he made in terms of, I don't remember if it was in terms of muks or in terms of bishul akum, but it would certainly change a lot of the halachas. So here it's also by Nadarm, as we were saying, Nadarm also changes depending on the time and the place, how they'd speak. And
smoking would be considered cooking or not?
Smoking, interesting. So that's a discussion. When it comes to Bas B'chal, they talk about smoking. And I think Rabbi Kivager brings a Yushalmi that discusses this. It's also discussed in Shabbos, Yushalmi, about whether smoking is considered Bishul for Shabbos, Bishul for Bas B'chal. I don't know if they apply it to Bishul Akum, but those are three areas of Bishul that all are connected. There are some
most
differences.
Most fish can be eaten smoked.
Right, because they're very easily cooked.
I'm saying that people eat right. Smoked, white fish smoked, salmon smoked, everything.
I don't know how you're passing if Akum were to smoke something, whether that's considered cooked from, I don't know. But I do know it's a suffix by Shabbos and by Bas B'chalav. Okay. Fine. The new Mishnah tells us now in an Aleph and a Beis, this is the second Mishnah on the page, actually three of them, but we're up to the second one. The Mishnah says, Minat Tzli, if a person says, I cannot get Hana from Tzli from something that's roasted, Ein Asar Ela Minat Tzli, Shabasar, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. When a person refers to something roasted, he's typically referring to the roasted meat. But if he says, Tzli, Shani Toim, if he says, without the idea, roasting, that I will, Shani Toim Asar, that if I will taste anything roasted, it will be Asar, then, Bechalat Tzluim, then he's implying everything that's roasted, it could be roasted vegetables. Minat Maldiach. If he says, I can't eat something that has been salted, it's only referring to salted fish. Now, I think salting was a way of actually cooking the fish. I think the Mishnah says, right, salting, since fish are so easily cooked, putting salt in it is actually going to cook it to a certain extent. Is that what he's referring to? Right, so salted fish. But if he says, Meliach Shani Toim Aser, but if without the idea, salty things I will taste as Aser, then he refers to B'chol Meluchim, anything that might be salted. Dagim shani toim aser, fish among fish that I will taste is aser. Then that implies bein gadol bein katan, whether it be big, whether it be small fish, bein meluchim bein tefilim, whether it's salted, whether it's unsalted, bein chayim bein mevushalim. Oh, interesting. Whether it's raw, whether it's cooked, that's interesting. It implies that it's raw fish was edible. Okay, let's just see what they say on the side here. Umutter, all that's aser, but what's mutter is mutter betaris trufa ubatsir. What's Taris Trufa Batsir?
That one that's cut very, very thin.
Uh-huh. The brine, right? The fish brine. So the Taris Trufa, that's referring to something that's cut very fine.
Yeah.
So let's look at the Rans here for a moment. You see the Ran around 10 narrow lines up. Masnisin Dag Dagim Shani Toim Also Bein Hen Bein Begadol Bein Gedhatanim. Person makes says that I'm going to prohibit myself from any fish among the fish. He refers to all fish across the board, whether they're big, whether they're small. And the Ran says, Mishum da Amar Trei Lishnei Dag Dagim. Since he used double lashon, dag and dagim, the dag mashba gadol, because typically one fish, if it's a big fish, one fish is enough to satisfy him. And Mishum da Minka b'fnei atzma, because it's sold as the one portion. V'dag mashba katanim l'fish ein makar el b'yachet, small little fish, they sell as many fish as a unit. So that's why it includes both big fish and small fish. But mut b'taris b'tufo, batzer b'marayis, taris tufo dag gadol, Tarif dak dak. If they took a large fish and sliced it up very small, mishum halchi shari is permitted, mishum the dag dagim shleimim mashma velo trufim. Because dag dagim refers to whole fish, not chopped up fish. So this would imply sushi would be permitted, because you're not having a whole fish when you eat a sushi. It's a piece of fish. Sometimes they're chopped up fine, sometimes they're bigger pieces. The kolshkein, and certainly mutter b'tzir shadagim, certainly the brine of the fish would be permitted as well. Shu shumin or hayotzim minhem, or maybe the fat oil that's is permitted. The kevri dagim muravim ba, and all the innards of the fish that's mixed along with it, that would all be permitted. The kolshkein shemutter b'marayis, and a step further, it's mutter b'marayis shu shmeinu shadag bavad. It's only the fat, only the oil, only the fish oil, but none of the innards mixed together. Okay, I'm just wondering about this raw fish in light of the conversation we just had, though. So the footnote points out here, just says, even though it wasn't normal to eat raw fish, it was still included in the Isser. It was still included. And the Hagos Tiferes Yaakov, the Mishnah says, we see from here, when a person makes a nether with something, a defined object, it's going to ask even things that are not considered typical hana. So even though they would not eat raw fish, but since they made a nether, it's going to include across the board all types of fish.
One of the line disgusting.
What is this? You don't like sushi?
No.
Not really? Okay.
No, but it's batsir and no chopped and all kind of craziness.
Chopped fish? It's not so crazy. Sushi is chopped fish.
It is?
Yeah.
Even more so.
I mean, some of it's very, like the tuna is usually like chopped, you know, fang.
Yeah, food and you have, usually the spice is chopped and the non-spicy.
Right, and the salmon's usually pieces, like thick pieces of both.
Oh, yeah, spicy salmon and everything.
Okay. Enough of sushi today. Okay, the Mishnah says now, Hanoder me atzchina. A person makes a nether from the tzchina. Is that how you pronounce it?
Tzachana.
It's what?
Stinks.
Stinks?
Stinks.
It means, the word means stinks. Okay. Tachana is a mixture of different fish, salted fish. Okay, it stinks. So, such a person, aser betaris, he'd be aser to have chopped fish, betaris tufa, mutter betziru b'marais, but he's permitted to have the fish oil, whether it's mixed with the innards of the fish or not. But if he makes a noder mitiras tufa, he's aser betziru b'marais. If he says, I can't get hana from a chopped fish, then he's aser, that includes even the fish oil, because I guess those include that has some of the chopped up fish in the fat.
Actually, there's a company or type of fishes in box that says it's called batsira.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Until now, they sell it.
Like sardines?
I don't know what it is.
Sardines are sold in like a box now?
Yeah. This brown box?
Yeah.
So it's called batsira.
I wonder if that's sardines.
No, but here it's batsir, dagim shuman hadag shekravav meuravim bo.
And sardines are, I think, a type of herring, right? Does anyone know that? I think, I seem to recall, when we did Bishakam a number of years ago, I think Rav Shechta said this, that sardines are cooked fish, right? They're cooked, so anyone have sardines here?
Yeah.
They're cooked, right?
Cooked.
So the question is,
is
that Bishakam when it comes to sardines? That's the Shaila. So, one of the other hertaim of Bishakam is that if it's not served on Shulchan Lachim, if it's not served to the king, then you could eat. There's no issue with Bishakam. So, I'm trying to think of other examples. Let's say a cereal becomes...
You said there's no issue, they can cook it?
Exactly, you're allowed to cook it. It's something that you wouldn't typically serve a king. You wouldn't... Cheerios end up being a big discussion in the post. Would you ever have a bowl of Cheerios on the king or the queen's table? Some could then, they wouldn't eat Cheerios. That's not fancy enough for them. So you're allowed to, even though it might be cooked Cheerios, that's no problem with Bishul Akum. So sardines, they would never serve sardines to them. I open up a little can and serve sardines. So it wouldn't be a problem with Bishul Akum, even though, you know, the people OU may oversee it's cooked without being supervision and they turn the fire on their own, that's okay. Others can then, since sardines are herring, and fancy herring would be served in the Shulchan Lachem perhaps, so it's no different. Just because sardines are a little smaller than larger herrings, it doesn't make a difference. And something, there's big herring and there's small herring. They're two different minim. So, okay. Back to the Gemara now.
Things out there are basically Mishul Akum. And because it doesn't go in Mishul Chanelachim, Mishul Akum is fine.
Correct.
Mm.
Interesting. Yeah. So anything that's eaten raw and then cooked... Someone asked me a shayla the other day. They were at someone's house, in his parents' house, and then he saw that the housekeeper had put something in the microwave and got really, really nervous about the use of the microwave. So I said, no, because no one really cooks most part. People don't cook things fresh in the microwave. Anything she was using was just reheating something. So reheating something is permitted to reheat something. Okay, fine. Back to the Gemara now. Gemara says, Tanya, the Brisa says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Dog shani toim aser begdolim umutra ketanim. If a person says just dog, one fish, single fish, that includes the gdolim are aser, but the ketanim are permitted because no one eats just one small fish. They come in a pack, but one dog would include a gdolim would be aser. If he says daga shani toim aser begtanim umutra begdolim, why? So that's daga. So if you look at the let's see here, the Ran. The Ran says, let's take this from Dag Daga. Oh no, that's both of them. What about Dagastam? Dagastam means a small one, I think. The Ran doesn't say this, but I believe Daga means a small fish.
The first is Shigur and Dag Lagadol, but Daga
Lagadol. Where is that?
The guy's just saying Halach Achala
Shabbat. Okay. So, Daga. So, what's in Yonah? Which word is used in Yonah? Isn't Daga used in Sefer Yonah?
Yeah.
The dog.
Actually,
oh yeah.
Daga.
Which we think is a big. Okay, so we'll see that in a second then. Okay, so dog means large fish, and daga refers to small fish. So Gemara says, if you say dag daga, you say both them. Shani toim aser benim gedolim benim katanim. That's going to include both large fish and small fish. So Amalei Rapapa says to Abaye, mimai de dag shani toim gadolhu. How do you know dag refers to a large fish? Dechsev, as the pasuk says, vayamein Hashem dag gadol livlo es Yona. He sent a large fish, dag gadol, large fish, to swallow Yona. The Haksib, but doesn't the pasuk say Vaispalal Yona El Hashem Elokav Mei Daga? But didn't he daven from inside the Daga? And you said before Daga means small fish. So was it a big fish or a small fish? Dag and Daga are both being used interchangeably. Sounds like whatever one is, the other one has to be the same exact thing. So the Gemara says, no, as we know, Lokasha Dilma Palte, I mean it's perhaps, I thought this was a given. Dilma Palte Dag Gado Balo Dag Katam. Perhaps what happened was that initially a large fish came along and swallowed up Yona. And then Paltala's pullet, the large fish spit out Yona, Ubala Dakotan, and then a smaller fish had swallowed Yona. Maybe that's what happened. Se'ela, Sigmar says, okay, so there's no raya from there. So interesting, because Dilma, I thought I was taught this as a given, that's what happened. There's a quote of Medrash on the side here?
Yeah.
You remember there being a Medrash. So it's interesting, the Gemara just quotes it as a Dilma, though, not as a... So then the Gemara says, so how do I know that again, Dag and Daga, one refers to big, one refers to small? Elav ha-daga she-biyor mesa. So this pasuk is referring to... So it's the fish, a daga, so I'm not sure how we know it refers to small fish. So Gemara says, wait a second. Ketana mesu gdolim lo mesu. The word says a daga refers to small. Only small fish die, not the big fish. And the Ran says just the obvious. The Ran says, Ela v'hadaga she biyor mesa. Ketana mesu gdolim lo mesu. B'tmiya. The hakeven shayor nepach l'dam. Since the river turned to blood, v'ade mesu lu ben gdolim ben ketana. All the fish died. So daga can refer to small fish. So Ela Gemara gives the answer of daga mashma gdolim u'mash ketana. It really refers to both. When it comes to the Dharma, we always follow based on what people typically use. And apparently, when people say daga, they refer to a small fish. And people say dag, they refer to a large fish. Okay, then the Gemara finally says, if a person takes a nether from tachana, which in modern Hebrew we now know means something that smells bad. And according to Mishnah, refers to, we said it refers to small fish, we said?
Mixed.
Mixed different types of fish. So Amalei Ravin Lerashi Amar Hare Alai Tzichin Mai Tiba. Let's say you say I'm gonna make a nether of Tzichin upon myself. What's the halacha there? The Gemara is a teiku, and the Ran just explains that this last suffix of the Gemara, four lines up. Amar Hare Alai Tzichin Mai Mi Mitaser B'tzir V'Morai. So if a person uses such a language of asering himself, will that include the fish oil or not? The Mishum Halchi Mikri Dagim Katanim Kivushim Tzichana. For this reason, we call a mixture of small fish that are pickled together, we call it tzachana. This is what you're saying. Mipnei shehat tzir, hayotz mehem, the tzir, the brine that is emitted from it, reichel nodef, it's a disgusting smell, miloshen vatel tzachanto. He quotes a pasuk, it sounds like. Pasuk in Yoel. Umibarlei, so it's something that smells bad. Umibarlei, so the shaila of the Gemara is, Iyamar tzichen demasha ribuya. It sounds like it includes, tzichen is plural, it includes more. Imishtami beinami tzir marai, so does this also include the brine and the fish oil that come out of this? Or not, it means the fish alone, but not the fat, the fish juices. Okay, so we'll stop here. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'll be back.